Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings here on the 11th of October. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and sitting in studio with Logan Rausch, one of the producers of this program, along with Rachel Sutton, who is running all the sound this morning for us, and Paul Perot in the newsroom, and they are doing yeoman's work getting all of the sound going, the news flowing, so that we can bring relevant news items and special interest topics with guests from around our country, and we'll do so from a unique Christian perspective of real faith and genuine hope. It's really what separates this program from so many of the news programs we can and do watch. We will not be discipled by Fox News or CNN as much as we do watch those kinds of programs. We will remain followers of Jesus here on Faith Radio Mornings. And so our guests that we bring on will certainly have different perspectives and come from different angles and life experiences, but we will still stay anchored together on this journey of faith. And of course, as we do the show and talk about these topics and news items, we love to hear from all of you. Some of the texts and the emails and the phone calls that you do really contribute to the show. It gives us a sense of what's happening at the ground level in your lives, and we certainly love that perspective, too. So at any time in the show, if you want to respond to one of the guests, if you have a question you'd like to ask, please do feel free to call in or text in the studio at 877-933-2484. Well, when I was driving in this morning, I was greeted by something I did not expect, and that was some snow showers. And I have to admit that I was feeling a little put out by the fact that we had a dusting on the road until Paul Perot sent me some figures coming out of North Dakota of the snowfall totals over the last 24 hours. We see that there are 17 inches in Findlay. We see 14.2 inches in Hope. We see 13.5 inches in Northwood, and it goes on from there. We see also some tornadoes that hit down in Iowa, and so I don't really know what to make of all this. I thought we could invite Ben Johnson into the program. Ben is our regular Thursday morning contributor here to Faith Radio Mornings. He helps me talk through so many of the different news items. He's been a journalist for a very long time. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So I'm curious, is this part of the horseman riding right now, Ben? Is this part of the apocalypse? I don't remember ever 17 inches falling on the 11th of October. I have to keep looking at my calendar and make sure I have this thing straight.
Well, 17 inches of snow is unusual pretty much at any time of the year, isn't it? But although less so for some areas in the listening audience than others. But no, in all honesty, these things come and go. There are some freak accidents and events like this. I happen to remember when I was a child, I think we got 7 or 8 inches in May once, and that was in Ohio. So things like this just sort of happen once in a while, and you can chalk it up.
So you're basically suggesting that you can talk me off the ledge this morning, that it's not like the horsemen are riding right now, or I missed the rapture, and you're speaking to me from some other place than the Acton Institute.
Well, I am speaking to you from someplace other than the Acton Institute, but you didn't miss the rapture that I know of.
Oh, good. Okay. Well,
if so, then a lot of us missed it together.
Yeah. Maybe I'd have to become a post-tribulationist rapturist if that's the case. So we'd have to change our theology, Ben.
Exactly.
Well, we love having you on. We're going to take a short break. When we come back in, I wanted to bring you in a little early anyway because there's so many items in the news to get to, including some reflections on the confirmation of Justice Kavanaugh and his use of Matthew 25 in his confirmation hearing. I'd like your take on the plunge in the stock market that we saw yesterday and the declining economic forecast that the International Monetary Fellowship released yesterday. And then there's a very interesting case from the United Kingdom Supreme Court that ruled in favor of some Belfast Christians who didn't want to be forced to make a cake for a gay couple. So lots to get into next with our guest on Thursday mornings, Ben Johnson, on Faith Radio Mornings.
This is my right. Right given by God to live a free life.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 10 minutes past the hour, and we are joined in the line by Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute. He has been a journalist for many years. He's covered the news from a variety of perspectives. We certainly love his take on all of what we see. And, Ben, what was your take yesterday when we saw 831-point plunge in the stock market, and we see that the futures are down pretty substantially again this morning, and that's in line with a recent global forecast of growth cut from 3.9% to 3.7%. You and I are not financial prognosticators. I get it, but things that we should be worried about at this moment?
Well, it's not a good sign. Let's say it that way. Now, I'm not a financial prognosticator. Looking at some of those who were, they said that with this kind of a sell-off, it actually is a sign in some respect of a positive thing, because one of the reasons that there was the sell-off is that there's been a transition. There hasn't been a sell-off like this for the most part for a long time, because every time that we approached one, the Federal Reserve would pump a bunch more liquidity into the market. And you could be assured that the market would continue to function and continue to move forward. The Federal Reserve, thankfully, has ended its quantitative easing policy, which is essentially a policy of uncontrolled inflation. It has raised interest rates multiple times now, back to a healthy area. For most of the last 10 years, the Federal Reserve has simply been doing everything it can to pump the market up with new injections of cash continually. So this is moving us back in the direction of a healthy economy, where the economy has to stand on its own two legs. But doing that means that occasionally people will look at the bottom line and the spreadsheet of the companies they're investing in and decide to sell off. That's part of it. The other part is something that's not quite so fantastic, which is uncertainty over global trade, with the president, of course, having entered into the new NAFTA, the USMCA deal. That shouldn't have been as much of a factor in consideration, but there's still tensions, of course, globally all over the place. So that's something that will affect trade long term, particularly with our continuing and escalating war with China over trade.
Well, and certainly it plays for good headlines for the president, especially to his base, to level these tariffs upon China and try to fix the global trade imbalance. But China has responded to that by devaluing their currency substantially. And so it's also a lot more difficult for European countries and United States countries to sell into China and make any kind of profit, thus the reduction in the global forecast. So, it might play good to his base, but there's a lot of intertwined economic realities in the situation with China.
There always are, and that's the secret of economics, is learning not just to see one aspect or one side of the issue, but to see all sides of the issue. When it comes to global trade, it's true that these tariffs benefit certain industries and certain actors. On the other hand, tariffs inevitably reduce the overall amount of trade. At a minimum, they keep it even, but they usually reduce fairly substantially. And a contracting market may give a certain actor or a certain industry a higher share of one kind of market, but when the market is contracting overall, that hurts everybody as a whole. So that's what investors are looking at.
Well, and it's amazing to me, Ben, how quickly we can all swing back and forth between hopeful and we feel encouraged, also an intense fear. And, boy, the stock market really does represent that for so many of us. It's been going up for about 3 or 4 straight years, if not longer at this point, and a few days of sell-offs, and pretty soon we're all afraid. Does it kind of tap into past experiences where we've just been wiped out financially, including the Great Recession?
Well, I think that's one of those issues. You look at the collapse of the stock market during the Great Depression, and that's another. And there have been these continual peaks and valleys. Now, the one that I'm, I guess, more sanguine about would be in 1987. There was the second biggest fall since the Great Depression up to that time, and you know the market went on humming right afterwards. So thankfully, the economy was in a good position. It was very strong. And we have a lot of the same fundamentals. We're moving back in that direction now that we had then. So it could very well be that we pick ourselves up and continue chugging forward, onward, and upward. But what this tells me is some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, some may trust in the Dow Jones Stock Exchange. Mm. We have to trust in the name of our God.
Yeah, it's an incredibly important wisdom and advice. All of these things perish at the end of the day. There's only one kingdom that remains. That's Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute. And, Ben, I saw some other headlines coming out from this past week, and I saw that at the ceremonial confirmation proceeding on Monday night at the White House, there was a bit of a made-for-TV event, but it was still a powerful event nonetheless, that we saw Justice Kavanaugh reference Matthew 25 in terms of how he's going to approach his rulings moving forward.
In the wake of the Senate confirmation process, my approach to life also remains the same. I will continue to heed the message of Matthew 25. I will continue to volunteer to serve the least fortunate among us.
And that really seemed to be an authentic quote. You know, we can't say for sure the state of mind of somebody, but, you know, you can kind of tell sometimes when it's political theater versus what somebody really believes. And in fairness, that has been his consistent message all the way throughout, that this is part of his bedrock belief in life.
It always has been. The way he's presented himself is as a very sincere Christian, someone who takes his faith seriously, and someone who volunteers, who mentors other people, who is hands-on, not only with his clerks, and I believe he's got the first female, all-female set of clerks in Supreme Court history, but then also for those whom he's coaching and other opportunities, and seems as though he's been that way for all the way going back to his days when he was in college. So those sorts of characteristics speak well about the character that he displays, and his judicial rulings, his temperament, and so on. I think are going to make him a very capable justice. But if I had any doubt about it, at least I know from his citation of the scripture, his citation is spot on. So he'll be able to have the same kind of even-handed and clear-eyed analysis of the law as he does with the Bible.
Talking with Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute this morning here on Faith Radio Mornings, and Ben joins me regularly on Thursdays to just talk about so many of the different headlines of the day. Ben, after a short break, when we come back, I would love for your take on what's going on in the United Kingdom. When I first saw this headline about some bakers that it was at least upheld that they didn't have to bake this cake, I thought it was in the United States, but it sounds like in the United Kingdom they have some of the same issues about same-gender wedding and trying to navigate that. So we'll talk all about that next with Ben Johnson on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm joined on the line by Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute. And Ben, I saw some of the headlines coming out of the United Kingdom, and there's a pretty favorable ruling for a company, a bakery company, that did not want to bake a cake for a same-gender wedding. Talk us through what happened there.
Yes, in the UK, Northern Ireland, in Belfast, there's a company by the name of Ashes Baking Company. And they were approached by a gentleman by the name of Gareth Lee, who is an LGBT activist, who offered them the equivalent of $50 to bake a cake that said support gay marriage. The owners of the company, the MacArthur family, it's a family-run bakery. They are Christian. And when they were approached about this, they said, of course, we can't do that, not because you are homosexual. They had served him in the past. They offered to serve him again. They offered to make any cake that he wanted except one that had a message that they felt violated Christianity. He immediately went to what's known as the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland, and the taxpayers of Northern Ireland spent about $350,000 to prosecute him, and they lost at the local court, they lost at the appeals court. However, yesterday morning they won at the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. So was a victory, and one of the things that the Supreme Court found was, first of all, they didn't discriminate against him based on the fact that he's a homosexual. They said they had no issue serving people who are gay, and so anyone who is LGBT would be able to use their services. Their issue was the viewpoint that they were being asked to present, and they said no one can be forced to present a viewpoint that they don't believe in, or particularly one that they would reject. And they were represented by the Christian Institute, which was looking out for their point of view. But the one of the things that they noted, of course, they referred to the U.S. Supreme Court and a very similar case, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, which was unanimous. This ruling, by the way, in the U.K. Supreme Court was unanimous. And I'm told that their court is, let's say, to the left of ours, which would track with the rest of the jurisprudence and political scene in the U.K., but they said that the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland, which sued this company, demonstrated the same kind of acrimony and bias against Christians that authorities in Colorado had against Masterpiece Cakes. So they had said, in our law, of course we protect people from discrimination on the basis of sex and so on, and of their sexual orientation in the UK. In the United States, that's more of a local ordinance. There is not any national ordinance to that effect. But in the UK, they have a law to that effect. But they say we also protect them based on their religious beliefs. And the ECNI gave the impression that they had absolutely no interest in trying to protect the MacArthurs, but instead trying to make an example of them. So they found that there was sort of an acrimony which stretches across the Atlantic sphere that includes the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland and officials in Colorado and elsewhere, where wherever there is a separation between religious liberty and LGBT rights. In the words of Hi Feldblum, who was an advisor to Barack Obama, religious liberty is always trumped by LGBT rights.
Well, and I think what we have to be at least might have to be careful to consider here, Ben, is that just because somebody wins a case in a court of law doesn't mean that anything's going to change in the court of public opinion. And so the reason and rationale for the case being brought against the baker, it's not like people that would like to see those things change are going to say, oh, it's finally settled. The Supreme Court decided. They're not going to change their opinion and would look for other ways. And so there's a trajectory, it seems like, in both countries, the United Kingdom and in the United States, that we're moving more and more to LGBT kinds of rights. So just because there's a Supreme Court ruling doesn't change the tide of that.
Right, and this is not an LGBT rights case, as the Supreme Court really put the pin on it. They said this is a case where someone is being asked to convey a message that violates what they believe, and their objection isn't necessarily to the LGBT component of it. It's to the fact that they wouldn't endorse any message, whether it's that or I'm not aware of some of their other sectarian beliefs, but if it violated one of their own unique church beliefs, they wouldn't make that cake either. And no one, they said, should be forced to do so, whether it's someone who's opposed to same-sex marriage or if someone like a more fundamentalist Muslim went to an LGBT cake shop and demanded a cake that said, smash gay marriage. No one would be compelled to do that. No one should be forced to make a message or use their talents to promote a message that they don't believe in. That's what the UK Supreme Court was saying. And thankfully, they have upheld that. You're right, in the court of public opinion, it's very much an uphill fight, and it's uphill at 180 degrees steep all the way.
It's Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute, and this is one of those conversations in which we have to wonder about government control versus individual right, and that certainly is happening all over our world on a number of levels. It was happening in an article that you wrote here recently, is released on the 8th of October, Ben, about forced paternity leave for fathers. And I have to admit, on a headline basis, when I see that countries in Europe are considering or have thought through 12 weeks of forced paternity leave for fathers, I have five kids, Ben, and that would be 60 weeks of leave. I'm going to try to get some back leave, about a year off of any current jobs. But maybe there's more to it than that.
Well, if you want to leave, then it's not really forced, is it?
Well, I suppose not. Okay, yeah, thanks for calling me out on that. You're 100% right. What's happening in Europe here with this, though? It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, so there was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, by a lady by the name of Joanne Lippman, who is saying that there's a Boston-based company called Humanize that not only offers but, in fact, forces all of its male employees who are new fathers to take 12 weeks of paid leave. And you think, well, that's wonderful. It would be great to have that time off and to have it paid. But the reason behind it is a little bit different. It's not just for bonding between father and child, which has been an ongoing concern in all the nations that have family leave. They have continually moved toward paternity leave. But it's also that they want to make it mandatory for men to do so that when women take leave, if men are taking an equivalent amount of leave, then that will reduce the likelihood that women are making less money. When one of the main drivers for the wage gap that is discernible across the OECD is the fact that women not only tend to choose different careers and so on, but that they take much more time off to care for families, particularly children and young children, and especially maternity leave. They take the vast majority, even in nations that offer it equally to both parents. So they said, if we can equalize the amount of time that men spend out of the office and lower their wages, then there won't be a wage gap. So rather than build up women, they are essentially tearing down men and their earning capacity.
Well, it's certainly, again, it's one of those situations in which the headline does not really match the actual story. And, Ben, love having you on the program like this on Faith Radio Morning. It's just always sort of trying to navigate the tension about the important role of government in our lives without it being an overreaching role. And so appreciate just your insight and wisdom each Thursday morning like this.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be with you.
We'll take a short break here for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we're back for the second half of this hour, we'll be joined by Convoys of Hope, and we'll talk about ways in which we can help in the middle and the aftermath of these hurricanes and just helping people in general around the world that are suffering in poverty and turmoil. So it should be a great second half of this hour on Faith Radio Mornings. Well, we love our animals here on Faith Radio Mornings, and that does include the entire dog family. But that was a pretty spot-on list from Ken Davis, we felt this morning. We're all laughing in studio about the reminders that dogs can make for themselves. As much as I love dogs, there was some research that came out here this last week that there's concern that dogs may not be more intelligent than pigeons. And so they're trying to evaluate the brains of dogs and see how they actually process things. But that could be explanatory for why they do like to drink out of the toilet bowl. Fascinating stuff from Ken Davis. Love it. It's fun to laugh in the morning like that. And coming up next year on Faith Radio Mornings, we'll be joined by Convoys of Hope, and we'll be talking about some of the relief efforts from Hurricane Michael, as well as some updates on what's happened in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence, and even some of the places globally like Indonesia that experienced such a profound and devastating tsunami. So it should be a good conversation with Convoys of Hope next on Faith Radio Mornings. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by John Wood and Rob Robertson of Better Angels, and they were talking about how we can begin to bridge the divides between us by asking questions of one another.
Just asking them why they think what they think is key. You learn a lot just by asking.
Yeah, Rob. I heard a great quote recently, something along the lines of, "He who only knows his own side of an argument does not know that." And or something to that effect, and I think that that's true. I mean, folks who we all have different experiences, but if you don't have a window into the experience of the person with whom you disagree, you're never going to have any sense of what you yourself might be missing. Even if it doesn't change your mind, knowing what another person goes through or has been through or has seen or thought about that leads him or her to the conclusion they've arrived at is going to help you better articulate your perspective in a way that's going to get that other person to actually listen to it. If civic society is worth anything at all, it's giving us the opportunity to listen and communicate with each other effectively so that we can actually change things for the better.
Seemed like such an important invitation to consider walking in another person's shoes, the values and commitments and ideas that they may have that is a product of their own life experience and the tapestry of influence that they have walked in. And so to be with one another and at least ask questions in the midst of the disagreement instead of labeling and categorizing, what an important invitation from John Wood and Rob Robertson of Better Angels. If you want to catch that entire segment, head to myfaithradio.com and you can search for Better Angels. They had a lot of insight like that throughout our 15 minutes together. Well, I see that Jeff Nini from Convoys of Hope has joined us on Skype. And Jeff works closely with a lot of these catastrophic events, big word to say early in the morning, around our country, including Hurricane Michael, Hurricane Florence, some of the tsunamis in Indonesia. So we'll talk with Jeff about how we as believers can come alongside of people that are in need in these situations.
Our nation is moving in the wrong direction. So what are we doing about it? This is Jim Garlow. 65% of Christians, that's 2 out of 3, say they're hungry for more information on what the Bible teaches in relation to current cultural and political issues. What people are hungry for is what God has already said they should be given. Multiple studies have shown that one of the primary reasons people are dropping out of churches in record numbers is because they believe it to be irrelevant to life in these days. If we don't feed the people and give them fresh food that meets their needs, Scripture says they'll be picked off by the wolves so plentiful throughout our culture. Isaiah 56:10 warns, "For the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen, his shepherds, are like silent watchdogs that give no warning when danger comes. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 20 minutes before the top of the hour, and we are delighted to be joined here by Jeff Nini of the Convoys of Hope Ministry, and they do a lot of work helping people in need as they are affected deeply by some of the catastrophic events that happen around our world. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing real well, you know, and it's really nice to have you on the program in terms of just getting some ground-level view about what happens when these things that, you know, the news cycle seem to spin up and make so outrageous all the time, and they're covering sort of breathlessly, but they leave those situations so quickly as soon as the storms are downgraded maybe and we sort of lose sight of them. But, Jeff, I've got to believe that there's a lot of people's lives that are deeply affected for months and even years to come when these hurricanes come across where they live.
Oh, boy, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what happens. There is a lot of interest, but right now our country seems to be so politically divided that most of the news media focuses on that. So they'll come and pay attention to whatever the disaster is for a short period of time, but then they move on very quickly, and people are left, the people that have been affected are really left to fend for themselves.
Well, and tell us a bit then how you at Convoys of Hope began to come around people and how to help them rebuild their lives and just ways in which you can intersect with them to help.
Well, one of the things that we do, we have a kind of a two-step strategy when it comes to disasters, is the first thing we do is we get there as soon as we possibly can and distribute things like food, water, hygiene products, baby products, different things that people need immediately. So a lot of times people will watch like Hurricane Florence on TV, and they'll see that, oh, we dodged a bullet. There wasn't much wind damage. But what they don't see is that there are, you know, 100,000 people or more without power, and those people all of a sudden don't have access to a lot of the things that they had before. A lot of times they don't have water. Their refrigeration is gone, so they've lost most of the food in their homes. A lot of people in cases like that were displaced from their homes because of the flooding. So all of a sudden they're living in shelters. And you know, with the hurricane, you have a little bit of notice. But things like tornadoes or earthquakes or fires, a lot of times there's no notice. It's just there. And so what we do is we go in and try to provide those life-saving items initially. And then the second stage is we'll follow that up with cleanup things, like after a hurricane or a tornado. We have teams that will come in, and we primarily use teams from local churches. And it's our real belief that the church is the one that's really best equipped to handle needs in a community. What we want to do is train that church how to do that.
Well, any initial analysis coming out of the situation with Hurricane Michael? I mean, I know obviously the winds were incredibly strong for where it landed. And have you seen anything as you've been en route to try to help with some of the devastation?
Yeah, we're about 3 hours away from there now. It was all the closer we could get yesterday. And that's the team I'm with. The bulk of our team is still, they're still in, Western North Carolina. We were in Wilmington and just getting ready to pull out and head back to Missouri, where we're based, and decided, okay, this is going to be a big one, so we better get down there. So that whole team headed from North Carolina down to Florida. The problem is the path that they would normally drive is the exact path the hurricane was taking as it came up through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. So they had to swing way west and come down that way. So they're still probably 7 or 8 hours out at this point. But they'll get here tonight, and we will set up, or this afternoon, and we'll set up a central distribution point and then start distributing product out from there.
Talking with Jeff Nini of Convoy of Hope this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. And, Jeff, you mentioned that you begin to work with local churches to help people out. If we're living outside of the area where maybe the weather event happened, how could we, let's say in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Hartford, Connecticut, how can we get involved to help out in this situation as well?
We have a email address set up. It's called Hurricane Michael at convoyofhope.org. And if they send an email to that, what we do is take church teams. So we don't want individuals to just start emailing that address. But if one person from a church can say, hey, we can put together a team and we can help, then have that one person contact us through that email address. And what we'll do is get back in touch with you, get you the instructions. And you don't have to be skilled necessarily. You just have to be willing and able to work. And what we'll do is we'll train you. And we go in and we'll do things like debris removal, where we'll pull somebody that's maybe been a victim of flooding or storm surge or a lot of wind damage. We'll go in and start cleaning up that person's property. If there's damage to the house, we'll start cleaning that up and try to get them prepared for what's next, how to get back to a new normal in their lives.
So not being skilled at least rules Logan and I and Rachel in the possibility here, because we thought we were going to be excluded for a second there, Jeff. We bring no usable skills to the situation, but what you're saying is if somebody's listening, they could contact somebody at their church and maybe start working together the group, and you get a singular request from a church or a ministry organization.
That's it, exactly. It takes just as much effort to work with a group as work with a team. And so one of the things that we really try to do is be efficient and use our donors' money wisely. So if it takes just as much manpower to work with an individual as it does with a team, it makes so much more sense to work with that team. And then you have 20 people or 15 people that are coming, all for about the same amount of effort. And plus, it's great team building for churches as well. If you have a small group from your church or a men's group or a ladies group or anything like that, you've got a built-in fellowship time already. But this is a real team building exercise as well. But the most important thing is you're really helping somebody in need. We try to focus those efforts on people that for whatever reason couldn't do it themselves. So we'll go into a community and we may find, you know, an elderly couple or a widow that's living alone that doesn't know what to do next, and go in and try to help them.
You're so right, Jeff. That shared experience of working together for a common good or for a cause, something like this, it really does build team. It builds community. It's something that is one of those marking points in a relationship so often. This is Jeff Nini of Convoy of Hope. We're going to take a short break, Jeff. When we come back, you referenced donors, and I was pretty fascinated by some of the big-name private partnerships that you seem to have entreated into this situation. People like Home Depot are helping out, and I would love to get into some of that about the importance of private enterprise working with public and social situations like this. So more to come with Jeff Nini from Convoy of Hope. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We are joined by Jeff Nini of Convoy of Hope, and we're talking about how we as believers can come around people that are in need, that have been deeply impacted by some of these catastrophic weather events that happen seemingly almost every week these days, if not every month for sure. And Jeff, I was really compelled by some of the partnerships that your organization has developed with private enterprise, names like Culligan, names like Home Depot. I've got to believe that there's so much about the private enterprise that helps you do what you do.
Oh, that is so true. We have been really blessed to have great relationships. You named a few, but we could probably sit down and go through a list and come up with 50 or more of names like that. Big companies, big corporations, organizations that really want to give back. It's not a corporate thing where they feel like they have to do this in order to get business. But these companies that we work with truly want to help people in need and see the value in doing that.
Well, and it has to be so refreshing. You referenced it well, that companies sometimes may choose to give for a tax benefit or to try to, you know, get some soft advertising out of it. But it sounds like these kinds of companies you're working with, maybe it's Plum Organics or Tom's or National Breast Cancer Foundation, that there really is this other-centered desire to put the wealth that they're generating to good use on behalf of other people.
That is so true, and it's exciting when you're at one of these disaster sites and you see one of these big. It just happened to me just a few weeks ago up in North Carolina, and you see a Walmart truck roll in, and you know, or a truck from, like you said, Home Depot or Lowe's, and you have competing companies even that will show up at the same time and not be looking for an advertising opportunity, but they're looking to do something to make an impact in hurting people's lives.
Yeah, the power of those partnerships really is profound. I'd be curious, Jeff, just give us a little update, maybe first of all, on where we are with Hurricane Florence. Again, I know we referenced at the top of our first segment the idea that these weather events come in, the news covers them for maybe up to 72 hours, depending on the severity of the crisis, and then they move on. But I've got to believe in the Carolinas right now, people's lives are, as we've talked about, still being deeply impacted. Where are we with that event, Hurricane Florence?
We actually got to Wilmington on the heels of the storm. We actually drove in through what was then Tropical Storm Florence. The hurricane part of it had dropped from a Cat 1 down to a tropical storm, but we got there during the middle of that, which is earlier than normal. Usually we try to come in on the heels of a storm, but in this case we got there quickly because we thought that the roads were going to flood, and that's exactly what happened. We were one of the few organizations that was able to get into Wilmington before all the roads closed. So we were several days there distributing food, water, supplies to shelters, to neighborhoods, people in need. But we weren't able to get back out. That's where our central hub was. Well, then after a couple of days, the road, we had one road opened up, so we were able to get trucks in and out. And we started sending out truckloads of food. Again, working with local churches, we would find a church in a community. And we ended up serving about 40 different communities down there, providing things like food, hygiene kits, baby products, things that people desperately needed as they were either out of their homes or had no power, living in shelters, that sort of thing. And then as that need started to go away, like it always does, you know, usually after a few weeks in a major disaster, that need starts to subside. We start shifting to the debris removal and the cleanup stage. There was a lot of flooding, so a lot of homes needed cleaned out desperately, pulling out old carpet, drywall, insulation, things like that, taking all their furniture and these materials that were destroyed, piling them out by the curb. It's not fun, glamorous work, but I'll tell you what, when you see the faces of the people you help, you realize how impactful your actions have been. So here's where we were in North Carolina. We were getting ready to send our main team home. The bulk of the team that handled the distribution, they were done. They were packing their equipment up. And then all of a sudden, Michael got more severe. So we left our cleanup teams in North Carolina and South Carolina and rerouted our distribution teams. So now they're on their way to Florida instead of heading home for some much-needed rest. But they're on their way to Florida, and they'll be arriving today, and we'll start it all over again.
Mm. Jeff, we have just a couple minutes left, and, of course, these weather disasters are not unique to the United States. They happen globally, and there are some headlines out of Indonesia in the last month or so as well about a pretty significant earthquake and then the subsequent tsunami that hit. And it just the numbers, Jeff, are staggering when I see the people's lives impacted, the amount of death that happens. Is this partially because of population density in some of these parts of the world? Is it partly because the infrastructure just isn't as strongly developed? Just kind of take us into some of these events that happen globally.
Yeah, we have a team in Indonesia right at the moment working on that situation, and that's exactly what happened there. The way you described it, it's a combination. There's population density along the ocean front there, but there's also a breakdown in the infrastructure. One of the things that didn't make a lot of news, but when the earthquake happened, that disruption that took place actually took out the power to the early warning tsunami system. So all those people living along the coast, there was no way to get the word to them that a tsunami was coming. And so there were it was actually in one community, there was a beachfront celebration taking place. And the earthquake, you know, it shook them up, but it didn't really impact what was going on. But yet when that tsunami came, there were probably 1,000 people killed right in that area just because there was no way to let them know.
Well, it's just devastating to watch, Jeff. We sure appreciate what you do on the front lines. Remind our listeners again, if they want to get involved and to help out with Convoy of Hope, it really is about maybe an individual listener getting in touch with some people in the church and getting a group together. Where can they get in touch with you then to get that process started?
They can send an email, take one representative from the group, send an email to HurricaneMichael@convoyofhope.org. They can also go to that website, convoyofhope.org, and they can follow the story if they feel led to give and support it. They can do that. It's just an opportunity to really stay in touch, stay up with what's going on in that disaster response.
Well, you really do bring hope, Jeff. We really appreciate the time here on Faith Radio Mornings, and good luck in the weeks ahead.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll take a short break and wrap up our first hour of the show here on Faith Radio Mornings. It's always pretty compelling to me when you see private enterprise use some of the profits that they have to help just sort of source and serve some of these people that are really helping on the ground level. So what a great ministry that Convoy of Hope is doing with Jeff and Nini. I hope you appreciate it. Just getting some firsthand perspective on that as well. Well, we'll set up the second hour of our show by saying that Chris Martin from Millennial Evangelical will be joining us in the first segment. And he is going to walk me through this article about possibly dating without texting. I can't even imagine. I know Logan in studio is horrified by that thought. So we'll ask Chris about his thoughts next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.